Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's May 26, 2020. It is 8:56. Listen up. I'm going to play a video. I want you to hear how the elite will use contact tracking. How about y'all hear this crap? I can get it going.
And if you look at the process that these contact tracers use, basically you can end up as a person of under investigation for doing anything. If you were at a bus station and somebody else was at the bus station at any time, and that person had contact with somebody's cousin's brother who may have had coronavirus, you could be a person under investigation. I have a feeling that a lot of conservatives and Trump supporters are going to be people under investigation, considering that some of the requirements, like in New York City, to be a contact tracer is that you have to have an understanding of structural and institutional racism. You have to support the LGBTQ community. This is a woke contact tracer army that is being inflicted upon us by the Clintons. In fact, Chelsea Clinton is on the board of trustees of Partners in Health, the organization that is doing contact tracing in the state of Massachusetts, funded by George Soros and Bill Gates organizations over the years.
It's funny, guys. It really is.
This is the War Room, and I am Tom Pappard, editor-in-chief of National File, filling in for Owen for the rest of this broadcast. I'm joined now by National File senior reporter Patrick Halley, who has been really at the forefront of uncovering this push for contact tracing, what it means, how they're going to use it to forcibly quarantine people. And Patrick, we have an exclusive secret memo up on National File right now that shows it's not just about people who are even sick. They're going to quarantine perfectly healthy people. To break this down for us, how is this happening in what used to be a free country?
Well, Tom, I'm running the resistance in Broward County right now. I'm leading the rebels against peaceful rebels, I should say, against the emperor, the Julius Caesar of Broward County, Bertha Henry. Bertha Henry rules over Broward County with an iron fist, like a dictator. Like an emperor, yeah. We're standing up to her. And we were caught on, she was caught on tape. I caught her on tape at a meeting talking about going into people's homes to isolate people, talking about going into assisted living facilities to isolate people and to quarantine people. This echoes the rhetoric that we've heard from that guy in the World Health Organization about going into people's homes, from the Ventura County Health Director. Even the CEO of the public hospital system in New York City said that he is not ruling out the city government using the authority to force quarantines upon people, because sometimes people don't self-quarantine even if you ask them nicely. This is what's going on. Now we have this memo that I obtained from a source who filed a public information request. This memo was never supposed to be to see the light of day. It's from Joshua Lentius, the current chief medical officer of Broward Health Medical Center. He got that job right after he sent this memo. And here it is on March 27th, quote, "Colleagues, I have worked with the Broward County Department of Health and the Florida Surgeon General's office to create a process for issuing a quarantine order for those patients who are unsafe to be let out of the hospital. This applies to patients who are persons under investigation or individuals who are positive for COVID-19 when such individuals wish to leave against medical advice." Now, of course, we know that persons under investigation also applies to people who don't have coronavirus. And if you look at the process that these contact tracers use, basically you can end up as a person of under investigation for doing anything. If you were at a bus station and somebody else was at the bus station at any time, and that person had contact with somebody's cousin's brother who may have had coronavirus, you could be a person under investigation. I have a feeling that a lot of conservatives and Trump supporters are going to be people under investigation, considering that some of the requirements, like in New York City to be a contact tracer, is that you have to have an understanding of structural and institutional racism. You have to support the LGBTQ community. This is a woke contact tracer army that is being inflicted upon us by the Clintons. In fact, Chelsea Clinton is on the board of trustees of Partners in Health, the organization that is doing contact tracing in the state of Massachusetts, funded by George Soros and Bill Gates organizations over the years. So, ladies and gentlemen, and you think this data is safe? You think the contact tracing data is safe? They can give it to the World Health Organization. This is according to official guidelines in the Federal Register that were filed by the CDC and the Health and Human Services Department. They're storing this data at the CDC. They can send it to who? They can send it to local law enforcement and federal law enforcement to use to quarantine you. They can send it to contractors. They can send it to congressional offices. They can send it to basically anybody. There's a whole long list of people they can send it to, even foreign governments. Okay, so this is what we're talking about here. And well, we've got the Chinese manufactured drones flying around us. All of a sudden, we've got the Clinton contact tracer army trying to track people down. And here, it's all in black and white. In this memo, they are planning to force quarantine people. And this is underway.
Well, and of course, Patrick, two things. One, of course, these tests, the wonderful, vaunted coronavirus tests. I mean, it was Savannah Hernandez of InfoWars who went and got tested, and the doctor told her to her face, oh, these tests are only like 60% effective. So even if it comes back negative, you still need to self-quarantine for 14 days. You just have to. And if your symptoms come back, don't even bother getting tested. Just call us. We'll count you as a positive, and we'll call it good. So that's part of this is, you know, 40% of the people who take this test may be, you know, basically whoever they test, quarantine, contact trace, anybody who that person came into contact with, put them in quarantine. And Patrick, the other part of this, I mean, we all know where this leads. It leads to Bill Gates and Alan Dershowitz sticking a needle in your arm and saying that you deserve it because the state has that power. And if you don't get that needle in the arm and maybe a chip in your wrist to go along with it, then you're not going to be allowed to go back to work. Then you're not going to be allowed to travel. You can't get on a bus. You can't get on a train. You can't get on an airplane. You can't leave your house without Alan Dershowitz sticking a needle in your arm. So tell us about, I mean, that's where this is leading. Do you agree? I mean, how do we fight back against this contact tracing woke army and Alan Dershowitz with his creepy fingers and long needles?
Well, Alan Dershowitz has said this. Oh, what a great constitutional expert this guy is. I really need to listen to this guy to glean what James Madison really intended. Yeah, I'm sure he intended to have the government force people to come around and, jab them with needles. Of course, you see a lot of people shilling for Bill Gates, even in so-called conservative media. There's this guy, Agent Jack Posobiec or something like that. I don't even know how to pronounce it. But this guy is shilling for Bill Gates. I don't even know what, we caught him tweeting from CIA headquarters, and he tried to delete it. So apparently he's at CIA headquarters. He loves Bill Gates, this guy, Posobiec, whatever his name is. But you've got big problems here. You want to talk about contact tracing? Go look at the CDC guidelines on contact tracing, okay? They can use a proxy. They can use a proxy, okay, to get information on children. So they can use so-called family friends, somebody who basically doesn't even know the child. In congregate care settings, they can use just somebody who has documentation on the child, and they can use that person as a proxy contact tracer to spy on children. This is what we're coming to, spying on children. Now, when the great freedom protesters, okay, who I am working with, who are inspired by the investigative work that I'm doing, and they're inspiring me with their great activism. When they went down to try to get into the Broward County Commissioners meeting, they were shut up. They were not allowed to go in. Meanwhile, Bertha Henry was in there getting praised by all of her fellow government apparatchiks. They love Bertha. They're rallying around her. They're like, oh, that mean reporter guy doesn't know what he's talking about. We love you, Bertha. You know, you should be able to go into people's houses and rip them away from their families and take them down to the gulag. That's totally what America was all about. If Alan Dershowitz starts defending ripping people out of their houses and sending them to gulag, that's probably what's coming next. Alan Dershowitz, of course, a frequent guest on Fox News, along with the South Carolina dandy Lindsey Graham.
Well, you bring up a great point, which is to say that, I mean, aside from InfoWars, aside from National File and a handful of other outlets out there who are really pushing back against this, it seems like the establishment GOP and the people who, for some reason, whatever that reason may be, whether it be where their paycheck comes from or the fact that they really don't want to get banned from Twitter, a lot of these people want to be in the establishment GOP, like Agent Poso, whatever his name is. And it seems like as a result,
Posobiec,
heck you're talking about? They're all just endorsing whatever Bill Gates says, whatever Alan Dershowitz says. They really want to ingratiate themselves. I don't understand this. In 60 seconds or less, why on earth would you ever get on board with this anti-human coalition that just wants us all to be slaves?
Well, you know, it's a virus, and if people sell their souls for a small, tiny degree of fame, I mean, if Bob Dylan allegedly sold his soul for, like, historic musical talent, whereas nowadays these pundits on Twitter are selling their souls for a Nikki Haley retweet. They're really selling their souls short. I mean, but maybe that's the price of their soul. That's what it's going for these days. But they are, in fact, selling their souls. And listen, I've said this many times, Tom. I have never endorsed theory that Bill Gates is a reptile lizard alien from another planet here to carry out an ancient lizard reptilian agenda. But the fact that many people on the internet believe this does not speak well to his public relations team. I think they could do better at convincing us that Bill Gates is on our side.
You know, I would very much like to see that Bill Gates is not a reptile campaign. Patrick, don't go away. When we come back, I want to show you a commercial or a series of commercials that are being run by corporate America to let you know that they're here for you during these trying times. Welcome back.
Yeah, guys. I mean, it goes on and on. Some of these videos are just endless that they talk about. But it's good things to hear, you know. It helps open your mind, let you hear things that you normally don't hear. You know, that's what my podcast is about, is opening your eyes to things you are not normally got them open to, you know. People don't think of this shit. They think nobody's gonna hurt them, and the government's all on their side. You know, I wish that was the case, or I wouldn't be so worried about what's going to happen in the future. Because if they push the New World Order, guys, I hate to tell you, but it's over right there. I think that's when Bible times will be kicking effect. When the New Order takes effect. Because think about it. One man over the whole globe. And what's that sound like? The devil, the Antichrist. He'll be he'll be over the whole globe. It's very ironic, is it not, guys? So, I'll let you know. Times are getting close. And I just want everybody and all my listeners to be ready for it. It's no joke, guys. I mean, for years I put off going to church and everything. Who doesn't? Everybody's not perfect. But I just believe the way things are going here lately, they keep changing quickly. And it ain't gonna be good for nobody. Here's something about the 5G I want my listeners to hear. Here's a little piece about 5G.
Will 5G destroy life on planet Earth? Anthropogenic, or man-made, electromagnetic noise, also referred to as electromagnetic radiation or pollution, has been proven to have an extremely negative impact on birds and bees' ability to navigate or migrate seasonally. Because 5G and other artificial electromagnetic fields interfere with their biological magnetic compass and badly impair their ability to sense the Earth's natural magnetic field. And, in a less complicated chain reaction, high-frequency electromagnetic fields can have a heating effect on living organisms within their range. Aside from birds and other migratory insects and animals, bees, specifically the honeybees, carry with them a large burden for the rest of the world in the work that they do daily. The The economical role of honeybees in worldwide pollination has been valued to be around $200 billion worldwide annually. So, the effect of 5G on honeybees is particularly consequential to all life. Various beekeepers, researchers, and scientists have conducted studies for over a decade and have found some alarming results regarding 5G, cell phone radiation, and even radio waves. Cell phone radiation can weaken the immune system of honeybees, making them more susceptible to diseases and parasites that could ultimately lead to their untimely death. Magnetically sensitive substances called cryptochromes control their immune system and help them navigate. These cryptochromes become impaired by human-made oscillating electromagnetic fields, leading the bee colony to collapse. In a study in India, mobile phones were attached to beehives, and as a consequence, lower stocks of food were built up. The bees became disoriented, oftentimes not returning to the hive after foraging for food and pollen in the surrounding trees and fields, leaving their queen bee to fend for herself. This anthropogenic electromagnetic radiation also makes the honeybees restless, develop an urge to swarm, become increasingly aggressive. It slows the rate of honeybee egg laying and honey production. In a study conducted by the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, active mobile phone handsets had a dramatic impact on the behavior of the bees, and the electromagnetic radiation induced the bees to sound their worker piping signal. In natural conditions, worker piping either announces the swarming process of the bee colony or is a signal of a disturbed bee colony as a primer for a mass swarm exodus. The honeybees were also anxious in their returning behavior to the hive after foraging. According to their research, the colony could collapse in 5 to 10 days when a mobile phone is kept near a hive. According to Academy of Science and the Journal of the American Medical Association, 5G's electromagnetic radiation can cause the brain of human beings to become hyperactive and overloaded, leading to loss in concentration, ADHD, damage to DNA, loss of fertility, and cancer. Membrane leakage can also open the blood-brain barrier, leading to Alzheimer's, dementia, asthma, allergies, and various autoimmune disorders. Of course, many sources dispute these claims that assert the negative effects of 5G on populations worldwide. However, its interference with the biological function of birds and bees is indisputable. And according to Albert Einstein, quote, "If the bee disappeared off the surface of the globe, then man would only have 4 years of life left. No more bees, no more pollination, no more plants, no more animals, no more man. If the bee disappears from the surface of the earth, man would have no more than 4 years to live." So either directly or indirectly from the honeybee's colony collapse disorder, 5G artificial electromagnetic radiation fields could wipe humanity off the map and potentially destroy all life on planet Earth, turning the world into a wasteland. But hey, at least there'll be a high-speed internet connection. This is Brian Wilson with Infowars.com.
You know, as long as they got internet connection, that's all that matters, right, guys? As long as everybody can boot online. Let's not give a fuck about the bees or what we're doing to ourselves. Let's worry about our internet. I mean, how crazy is that sound? You know, what's wrong with what we got going on now? What's wrong with the 4G? I thought it was pretty good. Here's another piece.
Did a pope admit that Freemason secret societies are working within the Roman Catholic Church to help set up an atheistic global dictatorship based on humanist ideologies? Back when he was simply known as Cardinal Ratzinger, the former head of the politico-religious nation-state known as the Vatican, Pope Benedict XVI said in an interview with Dr. Robert Moynihan, the editor-in-chief of the Catholic journals Inside the Vatican, that the greatest danger and external enemy to the Roman Catholic Church is Freemasonry. And after transforming from Cardinal Ratzinger to Pope Benedict XVI, the Pope stated that the real threat to the Church is in the global dictatorship of purportedly humanist ideologies. These humanist ideologies are synonymous with the diabolical doctrines of Freemasonry and threaten to undermine the teachings of Christ, as well as the law of God, known biblically as the law of liberty. So what was the Pope trying to say? In his new biography, Benedict XVI, A Life, the former Pope claimed that modern society is in the middle of formulating an anti-Christian creed, clearly referring to the humanist ideologies of Freemasonry. He went on to discuss how these ideologies were contrary to the teachings of the Old and New Testament, which the Roman Catholic Church claims to base its moral teachings upon, although they've been known to literally change the Word of God to fit their own ancient pagan traditions, even altering the First Covenant, the Ten Commandments, to abide idol worship and change the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. The Pope even claims to be able to forgive sin, an act that, in truth, can only be performed by God and God alone. These actions performed by the Vatican are perfectly in line with the Freemason-influenced and led French Revolution, which replaced the laws of God with humanist ideologies called the natural rights of man, even going so far to arrogantly write their new laws on a symbol resembling the tablets of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. Also, as a side effect of the French Revolution, Emperor Napoleon unseated the Pope in the Vatican as a political power and religious leader, took his ring that signified that power, and burned the Old and New Testaments on a funeral pyre in France. Mussolini would later reinstate the Vatican's political power between World War I and World War II in 1929. Benedict XVI also wrote that those who oppose homosexual marriage, abortion, genetic experimentation, and other humanist ideologies are in a sense excommunicated from society, shunned or excluded, as these ideas become new laws and take their place as new standards in an attempt to replace God's law and God's standard, similar to how the Roman Catholic Church excommunicated heretics, also known as individuals who think for themselves and draw their own conclusions, sometimes, and oftentimes, depending on the century, sentencing them to death. So have the humanist ideologies of Freemasonry already influenced the moral principles of the Roman Catholic Church? And if so, when will the transformation be complete? In other words, how long will it be until a global dictatorship will rule the world at the whim of an antichrist? Could the nightmare of this globalism he described already have begun? After all, secret societies are secret. This is Brian Wilson with Infowars.com.
That was a pretty interesting one, wasn't it, guys?
They come up with all kinds of things.
But it's good to hear. Good to hear stuff like that every once in a while.
On March 5th, it was reported by Daily Mail that soot-colored rainwater was falling across several cities around the Japanese island, from Saitama to Hashuda, from Iwatsuki to Kuki, creating black puddles on roads and cars, even filling buckets with the tainted rain. It was reported to local authorities, and after checking the radiation levels of the darkened water, nothing unusual was found, and the mystery remained. So why did black rain fall over Japan? Over the past few months, it has become clear that Communist China is lying about the extent of coronavirus infections within their population. Not only are they concealing the true number of confirmed cases, but it seems they are also hiding the true number of deaths caused by the lab-engineered bioweapon unleashed in their country. At the beginning of February, when the official death toll reported by China had just surpassed 300, China's National Health Commission banned funerals and burials. They said dead coronavirus victims should be cremated as soon as possible, without transporting the bodies, to burn away the virus and prevent further possible spreading during ceremonies for the deceased. About 2 weeks later, on February 12th, a fog loomed over Wuhan, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak, as Chinese authorities burned infected corpses, and crematoriums of major funeral homes continually ran their furnaces 24 hours a day. In a phone interview with the Epoch Times, a crematorium worker in Wuhan named Mr. Yun said, quote, "Since January 28th, 90% of our employees are working 24/7. We couldn't go back home. We really need more manpower," Mr. Yun explained. "Almost all staff at each funeral home in Wuhan are fully equipped, and all Wuhan cremation chambers are working 24 hours. Mr. Yun claims that the Chi-Com officials in Wuhan are cremating the dead coronavirus victims in secret. William Yang, a journalist for a German publication, also claims that China is hiding the number of deaths from the virus. His sources confirmed to him that thousands of dead bodies were sent directly from hospitals to the crematoriums without properly identifying the patients. Yang exposed this in a tweet, explaining that there are patients who died from coronavirus yet were not added to the record. Therefore, the number of officially recorded coronavirus deaths is far lower than the number of victims who've been cremated, proving that the death count is too low to be accurate. Exiled Chinese billionaire Guo Wingu substantiated this claim, estimating that the total coronavirus casualties are well over 50,000. On February 19th, to cope with the rising number of needed cremations, Chinese media reported that 40 industrial incinerators have been deployed to Wuhan, as the official coronavirus death number reached over 2,000. The mobile incinerators, typically used to dispose of animal carcasses, have been moved to the coronavirus epicenter to keep up with the rapidly growing number of deaths due to the virus. They can incinerate up to 5 tons of waste per day, burning a load of bodies in 2 seconds, and the virus cannot survive the 850-degree heat created by the furnace. So with the power to burn hundreds, maybe thousands of bodies a day, where is all the byproduct of these cremations, the flames' aftermath, going exactly? In other words, if there's fire, where's the smoke? During the same time in February, a map from Windy.com illustrates how sulfur dioxide levels have risen dramatically in the exact area surrounding Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus started, and cremation furnaces have been running 24/7 for weeks, maybe months to date. A single human corpse, when set alight, releases 113 grams of sulfur dioxide. And to account for the rise in sulfur dioxide levels around Wuhan, one would have to burn 13,968 bodies. More deaths than China has officially admitted to due to the coronavirus. The Czech company Windy derives its data on pollutants from NASA's GEOS-5 simulation system and publicly available satellite images from NASA's Fire Information for Rescue Management System show dramatically increased open-air fires during the period of the Wuhan virus outbreak from January 11th to February 11th, highlighted by the blue and green squares on the map. Are these open-air fires also being used to incinerate the bodies of thousands of coronavirus victims? Could the black rain in Japan reported at the beginning of March be a side effect of China's mass cremations throughout February? And most importantly, should the Japanese people worry for the safety of their drinking water and air as China pollutes their islands with the dust of cremated coronavirus victims? This is Brian Wilson with Infowars.com.
What if they did that here, guys? That's some crap, ain't it? You know? We wouldn't know how to act if that happened here. Well, I want y'all to have a good afternoon, and thank you for listening to the Scott and Jacob Show.